is the body of the nation. All the other parts are members, important in themselves, yet more important in their relations to this exclusive of the Lake Basin, and of 300,000 square miles in Texas and New Mexico, which in many aspects form a part of it. This basin contains about 1,250,000 square miles. In extent, it is the second great valley of the world, being exceeded of that only by the Amazon. The valley of the frozen Obi approaches it in extent. That of La Plata comes next in space and probably in habitable capacity, having about 8/9 of its area. Then comes that of the Yenisei, with about 7/9. The Lena, Amur, Huangho, Yangtze Zhang, and Nile, 5/9. The Ganges, less than 1/2. The Indus, less than 1/3. The Euphrates, 1/5. The Rhine, 1/15. It exceeds in extent the whole of Europe, exclusive of Russia, Norway, and Sweden. It would contain Austria 4 times, Germany or Spain 5 times, France 6 times, the British Islands or Italy 10 times. Conceptions formed from the river basins of Western Europe are rudely shocked when we consider the extent of the valley of the Mississippi. Nor are those formed from the sterile basins of the great rivers of Siberia, the lofty plateaus of Central Asia, or the mighty sweep of the swampy Amazon more adequate. Latitude, elevation, and rainfall all combine to render every part of the Mississippi Valley capable of supporting a dense population. As a dwelling place for civilized men, it is by far the first upon our globe. And now, life on the Mississippi.
Chapter 1, The River and Its History. The Mississippi is well worth reading about. It's not a commonplace river, but on the contrary, is in all ways remarkable. Considering the Missouri, its main branch, it's the longest river in the world, 4,300 miles. It seems safe to say that it's also the crookedest river in the world, since in one part of its journey it uses up 1,300 miles to cover the same ground that a crow would fly over in 675. It discharges 3 times as much water as the St. Lawrence, 25 times as much as the Rhine, and 338 times as much as the Thames. No other river has so vast a drainage basin. It draws its water supply from 28 states and territories, from Delaware on the Atlantic seaboard, and from all the country between that and Idaho on the Pacific slope, a spread of 45 degrees of longitude. The Mississippi receives and carries to the Gulf water from 54 subordinate rivers that are navigable by steamboats, and from some hundreds that are navigable by flats and keels. The area of its drainage basin is as great as the combined areas of England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, France, Spain, Portugal, Germany, Austria, Italy, and Turkey. And almost all this wide region is fertile. The Mississippi Valley proper is exceptionally so. It's a remarkable river in this, that instead of widening toward its mouth, it grows narrower and deeper. From the junction of the Ohio to a point halfway down to the sea, the width averages 1 mile in high water. Thence to the sea, the width steadily diminishes until, at the passes above the mouth, it's but little over 1/2 mile. At the junction of the Ohio, the Mississippi's depth is 87 feet. The depth increases gradually, reaching 129 just above the mouth. The difference in rise and fall is also remarkable, not in the upper but in the lower river. The rise is tolerably uniform down to Natchez, 360 miles above the mouth, about 50 feet. But at Bayou Lafourche, the river rises only 24 feet. At New Orleans, only 15, and just above the mouth, only 2 1/2. An article in the New Orleans Times-Democrat, based upon reports of able engineers, states that the river annually empties 406 million tons of mud into the Gulf of Mexico, which brings to mind